Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, the aforementioned host. My co-host is the Ben Reichle. Welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Glad to be on this side this week.
But
enjoy sitting in the catbird seat.
And guess where you're going to be next Friday?
Catbird?
Yeah.
That's
good.
I haven't been there in 3 years. But no, some good other hosts. Kushaloff was in on, I'm thinking 2 weeks ago, yeah, I'm sorry, and Todd Roop last week, and had an excellent conversation, but good to see you back there, and you look good in white.
Thank you.
It must be.
I was on TV last night. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, were you the round table of the...
WVIA had a round table. Okay. Well, they called it a debate, but it really was an election forum. So,
and where was
we'll
it
talk
held
about,
at?
Up at the studios, up at the Sardoni Theater, I think they call it.
That's right.
Good.
Super. Just a great conversation.
Bucknell grad.
And if you were not familiar with the race for 12th District, I think you got all your questions answered last night because they really outlined who they are, and they had a couple of remarks about what the other candidate is.
And who's going to allow us to talk today?
What do you mean?
Our sponsors.
Oh, those who's paying the freight here. Good point. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you today. It is Chamber Day, Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce Day here. We talk about the jobless numbers, which just came out, 263,000 new jobs. 3.6% is the new unemployment rate. That's the lowest in 10 years or so. And 3.2% the wage growth. So that's just a fabulous number, too, as far as I'm concerned. Bob Garrett is here, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Art Thomas joins us. Art, belly up to the mic, please. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, you know, I can't be mowing the grass this morning. I had nothing else to do, so I thought I'd come in and join you guys.
Right. Plus, you're the president of one of the busiest companies around here. There is that, too. But, yeah, he's a vice president of the chamber. He's president of Mech Tech Engineering, which, if you've followed any place where they're digging or bypassing or paving or fixing, this is the go-to place when you're the guys that say, oh, no, we can still do this. Let's just think. And then they do that, and then you make stuff happen, right?
You're doing me a good service today.
Well, no, I'm always amazed.
But also the pre-planning.
Well, that goes into it.
The pre-planning to make it happen, which people don't realize. Bob knows about that. Art certainly lives it. But the pre-planning to get things set up to try to grease the rails for economic development, that's a bigger deal than people think.
What do you know about pre-planning when it comes to underground infrastructure? Everything?
Well, I'd like to. if it's around here, I would call Art and say, Art, will this 24-inch pipe work? Or should it be this size? Should it be that size? And then he can call Garrett to see if Bob can get some government money, and then we can make it happen.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've seen engineers and these smart contractor companies at work.
Many and around. Many around here, too.
All right. It's like what they're doing in Northumberland. They get to a place where four pipes don't intersect. They cross, and they're like, well, conventional wisdom was, oh, we can't do this. But guess what? It all gets done.
Reagan Street can be done for $800,000, so Sunbury can use that other $200,000 for something else.
Dog park, maybe. Abby Abby Pryor will be joining us. She's from Bright Farms. You've heard about the hydroponic company that's going to be coming to Snyder County, so she'll be joining us. And later in the program, Fred Keller is a possible call-in. Mark Friedenberg, possible calls-in. We reiterated to them yesterday that they, like everyone else in the Central Susquehanna Valley, is welcome to call during open phones. All right, jobless figures. We'll start with the man, Bob.
Sizzle. That's what I would refer. This is a sizzling economy we have going here. 263,000 jobs is more than any of the economists that I looked at yesterday were predicting. That unemployment rate of 3.6%, I would probably take issue with the announcer at the bottom of the hour there.
Something petered out.
She said the last decade. I think you'd have to look back probably 50 years to find 3.6%. I know in the research I did before today's show, it was suggested that if we got down to 3.7, so last month it was 3.8%, if it got down to 3.7%, that would get us back to where we were late last year. You know, we had a little bit of a economic slowdown at the end of the year, but that was 3.7%. This is three, and that would have matched the lowest unemployment rate since December of 1969. So, getting to 3.6%, that's, you're really in historic territory at that point.
Ben,
well, I'd have to agree with Bob says. But on the part of, it's not sizzle. This is steak. This is an economy that's almost, if folks have been to a Ruth's Chris, when they bring that steak out, it's sizzling. But that piece of beef is there, and it's part of our economy. What we're seeing, a lot of positives. Art will, I'm sure, talk about, you know, what he sees in his business. And an interesting part about businesses like that, the pre-planning stages is where you see the volume growing now. What's going into the pipeline to come out then a year from now, 2 years from now? But one of the things Bob hit on, I want to point out, last year there was a little bit of economic turndown. And part of the problem with that was the Fed had no idea in all regards what was going on in the economy. They seemed to lose track, and they started, you know, they got interest rates raised, and they didn't have to. They were fighting inflation that wasn't there, and the administration finally called the Fed out. Now you've seen the Fed go back to somewhat reality. And one thing I know, President Trump's two nominees, Kane and Moore, have withdrawn from being on the Fed, but I believe it's time for the Fed to get some business economists involved here and on their boards, and not just educational academia economists that aren't in the real world. Because what they did last year was they slowed this economy. Now, by accident, it might work out. But so when you see that turndown, but right now, the skids are greased, and let's see what it goes down. And Art, I'm sure you're not lacking for a lot of work. What you see coming up here, just in our valley.
All the engineers and surveyors in our industry are have all the work they can handle right now. And I think this unemployment and job start leads right into one of our chamber priorities, workforce development.
Mm-hmm.
Our office has been looking for a professional land surveyor for about 5 years.
Sure.
We've had a retirement, and to maintain that license in our office, trying to find the right people to fit the jobs. You know, the saying right now is there's more jobs than there are people available to fill them. So it's critical that the people that are available to fill jobs are qualified to fill the jobs that are needed. And it's all pointing to the same thing right now, that we need people.
But surveying now is fun. I mean, surveying in the past used to be you had to haul things around and walk up through things. Yeah, now you have GPS, you got four-wheelers, you got backpacks. I mean, you can go out and survey, what's the efficiency rate now, 50% over what it was 10, 15, 20 years ago? You don't have to have a Suburban. I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, everyone had a Suburban, and you had to put all that. Now surveying is actually I would say it's a lost art, but technology's really come about in surveying.
That's certainly available out there. Let me tell you, we're still driving an 02 Ford Explorer. but there's
from Sunbury Motors.
That's right. I think it was his nephew that we got the car from.
Bob, U.S. labor participation rate down to 62.8%, down from 63%. why is that not really an ideal number to see?
You know, this is the other side of the, we talked about the sizzling data. This is the other side, is we're seeing this this issue with people staying out of the labor force, and Art already mentioned about our workforce imperative, that what we're trying to do is encourage folks who can be in the labor force, who can become trained surveyors, to go get the training that you need and get in there and do these jobs. We have a lot of jobs now in the greater Susquehanna Valley and nationally, you know, we're talking about millions of jobs possibly that are not being filled because we don't have the right set of skills, or the people that people don't have the right set of skills, and they're, for whatever reason, staying on the sidelines rather than jumping into the labor force.
Is the government safety net too safe for some people?
Well, I can't answer that. But what I can tell you is that there are people in the greater Susquehanna Valley who could, if they would take advantage of the different vocational programs, the different training programs that we have available here right in the valley, they could be qualified for jobs that exist right here. And these are good jobs. I know some months we debate, well, you know, what do these jobs pay? Are they family sustaining, et cetera, et cetera? But these are very, very good jobs.
Very positive.
And as you pointed out, you know, it's a lot of technology now in surveying.
It's
you know, you don't actually take a yardstick out with you anymore.
No, or you'd probably take a, you know, two-year surveying degree, but then you have to get certified. But there's a need for that, and I haven't met a contractor in the last couple of years that isn't looking for a pipe layer, a truck driver, equipment operator, etc.
Obviously, there's exclusions and exemptions, but it's a small percentage. If there's people unemployed right now, it's because they're not trying too hard.
What's the age spread of people who are underemployed or unemployed right now? Is it people who are nearing retirement that say, "Oh, I give up," or what? Or is it young people?
One of the explanations you hear with this participation rate is that the baby boomers are retiring in record numbers. Well, yes, they are retiring because they're 65, 67 years old, et cetera. I'm at the youngest of the baby boom, and I'm not going to be retiring for a few more years. But the we still have more baby boomers in the labor force than we have millennials and Generation X, Generation Y. So there's still more of them in. So the easy explanations to this participation are probably not correct because they don't completely understand the issues that we have up against us. We believe, and we will continue to push in the greater Susquehanna Valley, that the big issue is that we have a skills gap. We have a gap between the skills that people need to have the jobs and the skills that they have, and we have the way, we have the bridge, we have the mezzanine, whatever term you want to use, to get those folks into those jobs.
Can I go to school to become a surveyor?
Absolutely, but get a load of this. In the state of Pennsylvania, you've got Penn Tech, Pennsylvania College of Technology, and Penn State Wilkes-Barre. Those are the only two colleges in Pennsylvania that offer surveying degrees.
You don't see people
four-year degrees.
Two and four-year, and you've got graduating classes of 11 and 14. And 6 years ago, when Marcellus Shale was big, they were just absorbing all those graduates up into the Northern Tier.
When I went to Penn State in the 1978 to 82 era, a long time ago, there were surveyors all over campus, students who were studying as part of their curriculum. Is that still happening?
Well, you didn't see me because I was there from 82 to 86.
And I missed you.
I was all over the Hublon with my two surveying.
But Penn
there
State
were two surveying classes that supported the civil engineering degree.
So survey was part of the civil engineering.
And now they're not there.
No, they are.
Okay, those two are there.
You've got civil engineering graduates, but most of them are focused on getting their professional engineer
license.
So it's valuable when you have a professional engineer that does the extra legwork to get his dual degree or dual certification and be a surveyor. Because you have a civil engineering office like ours, if you don't have a surveyor in your office, you're relying on someone else to provide that. You need survey for every job you do.
And that was the old deal with contractors. It used to be back in the 70s and 80s, they had to, jobs got held up because because there wasn't enough surveyors to come out and do the jobs. Finally, the contractor said, no, I'll get my own surveying crew, or I need a sub that will be there right with me.
And that's something that hasn't changed, the fact that with our booming economy, you see construction, there's a surveyor. Wherever you see construction, there's got to be a surveyor, either the contractor or the designer.
And one thing I would say, though, Bob, when you said workforce development, I think there's also, in a way, there's a workforce ethics scenario that we're in a little bit of drought with. Mm-hmm. But people understand what work is, and when you come in, you might be at this part, and you have a chance to go up the ladder of life, the ladder of professional business. There's some growth understandings that happen. Experience means a lot.
All right, we are going to continue this conversation. We got our caller standing by. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue with our analysis, and we're going to talk about one company that's coming to the Valley that's going to be very much part of the solution. We'll talk about that shortly on WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. It is Chamber Day. We're talking about the jobless rate, 263,000 new jobs, 3.6% unemployment, lowest in half a decade or half a century or so, 3.2% wage growth. Labor participation rate doesn't mean anything, but it still bothers Mr. Bob Garrett.
No, it does. I think, Bob, you have to look into the numbers a little bit.
62.8%, so that's not enough. There's too many people in my age bracket that are only working part-time. We have on the news line some individual who's going to help take Snyder County's jobless rate still lower. She's Abby Pryor. She works for Bright Farms. She knows all about farming. She's vice president of their marketing. She'll probably be the CEO someday because she's always the smartest girl in the room every place she goes. And she's on the line talking about Bright Farms. So welcome aboard, Abby. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Thanks to LinkedIn and all these other networking sites, I get to know a little bit about. You have an agriculture background, so this isn't a stretch for you to figure out how to market iceberg lettuce and all your other products. First of all, anybody who shops will know what Bright Farms is, but you tell us your version of the description of what Bright Farms is.
Yeah, we are a sustainable grower of local baby greens and herbs. Our produce is grown indoors in greenhouse farms that use our, local Pennsylvania sunshine to grow year-round. And so we're coming to Snyder County, and we're building this year, and we're really excited to bring about 2 million pounds of locally grown baby greens and lettuce to the state, and we'll be growing just by the end of the year.
All right. Well, I had some of the Sunny Crunch. Bob Garrett brought it into the studio this morning. I thought he was joking at first. He brought in some lettuce. Our other guest today brought donuts, but he brought lettuce. But I'll tell you what, it's fabulous. It tastes like what you want iceberg to taste like.
Well, glad. I'm so glad that you enjoyed it. And most likely that product that he brought in today, while sold in Pennsylvania, was grown in Virginia, and that's what we're trying to change. We want Pennsylvania stores to be selling Pennsylvania products, and that's why we're building this much larger greenhouse in Snyder County this year.
Okay, you're coming out to Snyder County, out on Route 522. When? How many jobs? I like to go to ribbon cutting, so tell me what's in the future.
Okay, great. Yeah, we are underway. We started breaking ground in April and at least preparing the site work, and we will be building throughout the rest of 2019. We'll plant our first crop in December of this year, And our official groundbreaking is on May 20th in the morning. We would love to see you there. And we will be joined by Secretary Redding, the Pennsylvania Secretary of Agriculture, and some of our customers as well. If you picked up Sunny Crunch today, you might have picked that up at a Giant store in Pennsylvania. They've been a great partner of ours, and they'll be helping us celebrate as well.
All right, fantastic. And the public can go to a ribbon cutting. How many jobs do you hope to have there in the years ahead?
We will have about 50 jobs, a little more than 50 jobs. All of those jobs, regardless of what you're doing at our farm, pay a living wage, and all are offered health benefits. So what's exciting about Bright Farms is because we're growing in these indoor greenhouses, these are year-round jobs. We're able to farm here in the state year-round and give people the opportunity to grow with us. We are a growing company. When I joined Bright Farms just 4 years ago, we were one greenhouse. By the end of this year, we'll be five, and we're continuing to build more. So we're bringing people into agriculture in a really new and unique way, and in a way that creates sustainable jobs and growth within a company that's really growing. So we're excited to start talking to the community pretty soon, and we'll start off with about 50 jobs.
Ben Reichle, please go ahead.
Abby, as Mark said, I'm Ben Reichle. I had the Sunny Crunch over a glazed donut, and it was excellent. But my question, and I know this really dovetails over to Bob Garrett, why Snyder County?
It was just such a great fit. You know, first of all, we were welcomed with open arms from the county and from the local community, and from the state of Pennsylvania with incentives that help us to make this a good choice for us. From a customer standpoint, it also made a lot of sense in terms of where our customers in the state of Pennsylvania are located and where their distribution centers are. You know, our goal is to take as many miles off the road as we possibly can and get our product as quickly into the hands of our customers as possible. Because when you harvest any really fruit or vegetable, it is its most nutritious point at the point of harvest. So the longer you ship it, the less nutritious it is. And so right now, pretty much all of us, other than Bright Farms, are getting most of our lettuce and herbs from California, Arizona, Mexico, and it's about 7 days old by the time it gets there. So when we think about it, we like to think in hours, not days. So Snyder County made a lot of sense for us, both in getting the freshest product to our customers quickly and also in just their very business-friendly and welcoming approach as we were looking at sites. We found it a great place to build.
Abby, this is Bob Garrett, the President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. It's good to talk with you on the radio this morning. I just wanted to tell you a little bit of background. This morning I did stop in and had about eight possible choices of different Bright Farms containers that I could have purchased and brought into the studio this morning. But when I saw that Sunny Crunch, I said, that'll make good radio because we can just sit around here crunching into the microphone. And I need to tell you now, Mark is a consummate professional. And when he bit into it, he said, wow, that's what lettuce is supposed to taste like. So I wish I would have had a film. It would have made a great commercial for you. But hey, but on the series, aside, I wanted to ask a question. In Governor Wolf's announcement about Bright Farms that came out late last week, he talked about something called green collar jobs. And, you know, we're familiar with white collar, we're familiar with blue collar. Tell us about the green collar jobs, and Mark's telling me you have about a minute to tell us about that.
Okay, great. Yeah, we are part of a green economy. We are a sustainable business. We use about 90% less land, 85% less water, and 95% less shipping fuel than conventional farming. So we fall into a green space that is sustainable farming. So when we talk about green collar, it's really about jobs that support our mission, which is to improve the health of the planet and society. So it's about being part of a company that is better for our earth in terms of how we are providing consumers with the freshest possible produce and getting more nutritious product to those consumers. So it's really being a part of the green economy is how we think about green collar jobs. You know, we're really proud of how we grow and the benefits that we give both consumers and our planet, and by growing locally and by growing non-GMO and pesticide-free.
Well, thank you so much, Abby. We'll give you the last word. Anything to add, maybe where folks can get some more information? There might even be a job hunter out there who's listening intently. We'll give you the last word here.
Yeah, absolutely. So our groundbreaking ceremony is on May the 20th, and you can you'll find more details about that in the coming weeks. We would love to see the community, but certainly once the farm is open, we'll be opening our doors and giving site tours. This is a really interesting opportunity for kids, for groups, for gardening groups to learn more about this new type of agriculture, and we will welcome the community once the farm is up and running. And, you know, in terms of jobs, right now we are primarily in a construction phase. We will begin spooling up the local jobs to support this farm this summer. So look out for more information from us later in the summer as we'll start doing hiring events and recruiting events. And we will certainly be working with the Chamber to organize those and to publicize those throughout the community.
Abby Pryor, Bright Farms Vice President of Marketing, thank you so much. We'll see you on May 20th. And you have an open mic here. Come back on the radio and talk to us again. We'd love to hear more about this science and the technology, and the smaller carbon footprint is always of interest to Ben. He's trying to save the planet single-handedly, so we'll talk about this then. Thank you so much, Abby.
Thank you both so much.
I do
Take
appreciate
care.
That. Thank you for calling in. Abby Pryor, Vice President of Marketing from Bright Farms. They got, three plants elsewhere in the U.S. Now they're coming to Sealance Grove, the Pauling Station Park, which was a perfect industrial park. It's been there maybe about 12 years or so, and folks thought it would never get filled up, but guess what?
Very positive. Not another restaurant, yep. But a business is coming.
We hate to accentuate the positive, but it's inevitable on Chamber Day. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. More words about the economy when we return.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Ben Reichle is here. LB Water was where he's the owner, along with hundreds of his closest friends.
212.
Wow, that's the boiling point.
Just having some Sunny Crunch here, Mark. Excellent.
Sunny Crunch is the lettuce that was brought to us by Bob Garrett. He got it at the local Giant, right? Or Wise's?
Giant.
Giant.
Yeah, just only because I was driving past.
Hydroponic lettuce, and it's super good. So
good,
and you can get it at Wise's. So 263,000 jobs created, 3.6%, the lowest unemployment rate since I was 10 years old. 3.2% is the wage growth, the same as last month. Our labor participation rate went down. We continue to do the very definition of bouncing along the bottom at 62.8% is the labor participation rate. We'd like to see our guests would like to see that go up.
Too many retirees.
Is that what it is? Well, what about people who work? Let's continue that conversation. What about people who, Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, what about people who work part-time as they approach retirement? Is that hurting this number?
That is all in the calculation. This really, you can talk about it all day long. It's best to do over a beer or a box of Sunny Crunch lettuce.
Adult beverage.
But seriously, the issue in the Greater Susquehanna Valley, let's focus right here in our backyard. The issue here is we have a skills gap. We have more people that we have a gap between the skills that folks possess and the jobs that currently exist. And that's why the Chamber has the workforce imperative that is many pronged. We're working with the vocational schools. We're working with the post-secondary schools. We're working with the secondary schools. We're working with the Bucknells, the Penn States, the Susquehanna Universities, Lycoming College. We're going to be announcing fairly soon about the community college coming to our valley. So there's a lot of things we're working on. We're working on the Second Chance Initiative with the folks that are currently incarcerated to try to see if we can get them back into the labor force and out of prisons. We're doing everything we can, and we're going to do what we can in the greater, in our four-county area, to see what we can do to get that participation rate up.
Art Thomas of MechTech, Vice President of the Chamber. This is a good time to be helping the Chamber because a lot of work that went before us is coming to fruition.
Yeah, it's great to be part of the Chamber right now because, you know, part of our big part of what we do is economic development. So Bright Farms coming in here in this last segment sure makes us look like we're doing a good job, and Bob and his staff certainly are, and it's a real shot in the arm for us. And don't forget about our early learning initiative, Bob. It's all about workforce development, and we got to get our earliest learners ready to go to school because kids learn to read by third grade so they can read to learn after that. And if they're not ready to read in third grade, then that is our workforce problem in the future.
And that should be the initiative of all the schools. If you can't read, you can't learn. Or if you can't read, it's very hard to learn. One thing, Mark, look at the, you talk about Bright Farms coming and we talk about the economic development. It's also the men and women who put the time and effort into it. Not only the Chamber of Commerce, but Bob and his staff does. Of course, the committees Art serves on, but it's also the county commissioners and the local township supervisors. You know, in Stater County, you have the county commissioners. You had Joe Kantz and Lee Knepp and Peggy Chamberlain Roop in that group, and you also have the Penn Township commissioners, and you also have the
supervisors.
You know, the supervisors that go in. So there's a lot of folks that get involved here and help make the economic development possible. Some people say maybe there's too many people involved in some areas. You go to other states and you're dealing with the county, but here in Pennsylvania, we've seemed to make it work, and here in Snyder County, it seems to work out well. Union County, Northumberland County, we see on the western side of Northumberland County the growth, but all the way down to the Anthracite area now that there's light at the end of the tunnel for some of the economic growth.
Local. We'll be down in the next week. We have the third annual Anthracite Economic Summit. Be talking this year, we're going to be focused on community development, some of the things that we're just starting to get rolling in places like Shamokin and Mount Carmel, Coltmont, etc. So we'll be down there, and there's a lot of good news starting to come out of there. Now there's some bad news, we're not going to be Pollyanna about it. The Chamber does accentuate the positive, but we have some good news coming out of there, and if we can overwhelm the bad news with good, that'll be fine by us.
Got a break here. Go ahead.
Yep.
Let's get to local unemployment.
Yep. So let's talk about the county by county. The latest statistics we have for if folks that really want to focus in are from March of this year. And in Montour County and Union County, 3.3%, so lower than the national average. Snyder County right at the national average at 3.7%. And the really exciting news, I think, is Northumberland County, that for the first time in decades is at 5% or below 5%. This past month, it was right at 5%. And, there was a day not that long ago that we used to say that 5% unemployment was full employment. Now, clearly, you can go lower than 5% because we have Union and Montour County at 3.3.
All right. We are talking about the Chamber, or Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. What's on the agenda and the schedule coming up? We got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, busy month. Annual meeting on May 20th. Right before the annual meeting will be the Bright Farms groundbreaking. I've been joking with them that there's a lot of ground has already been broken out there at Pauling Station, but so it'll be should be a cement pouring or something like that. But we'll be doing the ceremonial groundbreaking, as Abby pointed out. We will have the secretary with us. Several other dignitaries will be in town. Then we're going to do a press conference with Bright Farms and the secretary to talk to people like Mark Lawrence and Matt Cricillo and others about what this really means as far as those green jobs and all the new ideas in agriculture, et cetera. Then we go right into our annual meeting, which we're expecting 200 or so folks to be there. And we're going to have that chamber conversation again this year. It's going to be Sue Green, the chair of the board of the Chamber of Commerce, and she'll be having a conversation with someone from Bright Farms and the Secretary of Agriculture, and that should be very, very interesting for people to listen in on. And then we go into our awards ceremony, which is always exciting to find out who the business of the year, the small business, the Athena winner, the volunteer of the year, the young professional year, et cetera. So that'll be a real exciting. Then that exact same day, by the way, that's at Susquehanna University, that exact same evening will be our Young Americans, Young Americans Banquet. That's where we recognize all those wonderful young kids that you've been hearing about on the radio and reading about all year long. We'll be recognizing them, and their parents will be with them, the administrators of their schools, et cetera. So that's both on May 20th. Let me see. This afternoon, we have governmental affairs. We're at Marzoni's. We have Carl Morara coming in. We're going to try to be pushing, getting folks out to vote on May 21st. You know, all that annual meeting and Bright Farms and all that is the eve of the election. And, you know, the only national election in the entire United States of America this spring happens to be right here in the 12th Congressional District of Pennsylvania. So we're really hoping to get folks out and that people understand that, yes, to vote in a primary, you have to be registered in a party. But to vote for Congress, everyone gets to vote. So we're going to be working with the Pennsylvania manufacturers.
As long as you're registered.
As long as you're a registered voter. Thank you for pointing that out.
Somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, registration, I believe, has passed, right? Yes, mm-hmm. It has passed. It's always a month out. And then next Friday, transportation. Encourage everyone to be there. We'll be getting some news out of Lewisburg and some of the work they're doing with pedestrian safety in Lewisburg, as well as we're going to have a presentation on mass transit in the Valley at our transportation meeting. Art, what have I missed coming up? Anything you can think of?
Well, you know, Bob, a plethora of information, dearth of downtime there, right? He's just a robot of info. I'd say it's a great time to live and work in the greater central Susquehanna Valley. You know, it was 10 short years ago, we were in the midst of recession and wondering which way was up. Here we are 10 years later, and we're seeing the fruits of billions of dollars being spent in our backyard. There's a bypass coming. It can be no secret that that's got to be part of Bright Farms' decision to be here. That's just the beginning. We've been seeing development. We're riding the coattails of federal data. It's happening. We can't find enough people to work. These are, I think, my millennial kids call these first world problems that we're dealing with right now, and it's an exciting time to be here.
All right. Thank you so much, men. Appreciate it. GSVCC.org if you need more information.
Right, or if you want to come to that, to the annual meeting, hear more about Bright Farms, munch on Sunny Crunch. S. Bright Farms will be featured at the during the banquet, so we're thrilled that they're going to be here.
Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you, Art Thomas, coming in. He's vice president of the Chamber, president of MECTEC. Mr. Bob Garrett is president and CEO. Earlier, we had Abby Pryor on the line from Bright Farms, Inc. They're coming to Snyder County. We come back with open phones. Anybody who wishes to call the show, call 1-800-795-9565. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word, a place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Ah,
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Mark Lawrence, Ben Reichle is here on the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. They are a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to do as I have done. That's visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. That is where they specialize in all types of service on vehicles. You can get a trip check if you're going on a road trip and you want to make sure that your belts are tight and your fluid's full and they've pumped you up properly with nitrogen. That's one of the things. But, of course, if it's pulling to the left, they got an alignment shop. If you scratched it or somebody scratched it for you, they can get it unscratched. If, let's see, what else? They got a car wash, too. If you got it mudded up, they can get you, yep, you're good. They can get you fixed up. What's up, brother? What are you looking at there?
Well, we're just looking at, I was going to say, start a revolution and go down to Sunbury Motors and get your transportation needs.
SunburyMotors.com. I'll be there in the years ahead with the new Ford Ranger coming out, so we'll have new wheels before too long. But you don't have to settle for just one truck. You can get a Ford F-150 or all the other Fords, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. Check them all out at SunburyMotors.com. And the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome throughout our show to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Some very brief news headlines. Maybe the Reagan Street underpass in Sunbury won't flood in the future. The city of Sunbury has received a $1 million state grant to address ongoing flooding issues on busy Reagan Street. Reagan Street underpass floods during heavy rain, and this project will replace the current 15-inch combined stormwater and sewer line with a new 48-inch line, which doesn't just carry four times as much. Okay, if you have a 15-inch line and you go up to 48, it's not four times or three times as much capacity. So it's about 10 times as much capacity.
And also the key there will be, are they going to separate that? Right now there's a big, you know, CSO, combined sewer systems here. Separate them. Have the sewer system and have the stormwater system.
Okay, so to be continued. We'll find out. But, yeah, that is exponentially more capacity. That will become the new sewer line from Front Street to 4th Street along Reagan. Sunbury Councilman Eister, along with Rick Reichner, City Municipal Authority, John Gordner, Linda Schlegel-Culver, Cedar Cog, DCED, all in on making sure that this fell together nicely. Lewisburg residents will soon know the details of the big truck traffic study that's underway right now. The company, Traffic Planning and Design, out of Harrisburg, will hold a meeting very soon.
By June, we hope to have enough data that will actually be able to help us put ourselves in front of PennDOT to start the conversation. We'll have that information, including all the public comments, and we'll have that by June 11th.
Kim Wheeler, Special Projects Coordinator for the Borough of Lewisburg. She and her colleague Samantha Pearson on the Sunrise Show said that you can still participate in the survey.
We have both a structured, very short survey that they can do, and we also have a somewhat more open-ended contribution form where you can state what your issues are, where they are, put in photos, labeled photos, things like that. All of that can be found on the Borough website.
And that borough website is lewisburgborough.org, but we'll see you at the fire company. It'll be at the William Cameron Engine Company Fire Hall on 5th Street in Lewisburg, June 11th, council work session with the unveiling of the details of the new study. One state lawmaker is protesting a natural gas pipeline project in her neighborhood, but she has to apologize for saying Nazis were just doing their jobs, too. She wasn't critical of the individuals digging the trenches for the pipe because she said, well, they were just like Nazis, just doing their job, so she wasn't critical of them. It was in response to complaints that demonstrators were preventing workers from doing their job. Democratic Representative Danielle Friel Otten of Chester County said Thursday her language was, in fact, insensitive. She earlier had accused oil and gas industry consultants of stirring up outrage and said the fight wasn't with the workers. Otten's initial Saturday comment on Twitter responded to complaints by a pro-pipeline organization that pipeline opponents were blocking work sites. Criticizing Otten's words were top Democratic lawmakers, the head of the Steamfitters local, and the Anti-Defamation League, all saying that there really is a significant difference between a controversial local pipeline project and 7 million Jews being slaughtered in Germany.
You have a Democratic rep whose lack of knowledge, some people refer to that as ignorance, not understanding what Nazis are. And that runs through a lot of the political parties on both sides, people using words that, out of context and not understanding the total picture. But, put the brain in gear before the mouth. We've all done the latter, so we've all done the former. So you would hope somebody would speak a little more eloquently.
And finally, Facebook is finally doing what you'd think they would have done years ago. They're turning their back on extremists like Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, and Louis Farrakhan. The social networking site says they and others violate their ban on dangerous individuals, and always have, but they decided just now to ban them. The ban applies to both Facebook's main service and to Instagram as well as to fan pages and other related accounts. The move by Facebook is seen as a way for the social media giant to oust those promoting hate, racism, and anti-Semitism. But several of those who have been banned say their removal amounts to censorship.
Certainly does.
Well, but do you have a right, if you have a private company, and like if you come to my house and say, I want to buy these items from the yard sale, but then you start doing racial slurs and saying that Sandy Hook never happened, do I have to sell you that item, or can I ask you to leave the property?
Well, you can certainly ask to leave the property, but let's go back to the old saying, sticks and stones can break your bones, but names will never hurt you. So, at some point, our soft underbelly, the political correctness that have run amok, has gotten out of control. So now, all of a sudden, if somebody's talking about something that makes you feel uncomfortable, is it hate speech? And we're seeing now with the ACLU, with the Southern Poverty Law Center, what the agendas or narratives really are. I would be concerned, and Facebook's credibility on safety is very questionable. Let alone the censorship by social media. What we've seen with algorithms, what we've seen with certain groups, the progressives versus the conservatives, and the information that somebody deems hateful? Who's making that decision? Who's the wizard behind the curtain at Facebook making that decision on what is hate speech?
1-800-795-9565. Do you think, as Ben does, that Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, and Louis Farrakhan should be on the private Facebook pages, or is Facebook in the right to exercise their right to ban certain individuals? Paul, what's your view on that? Thanks for calling in.
Well, first of all, you guys are talking about people and jobs. And one thing that you haven't talked about is what to do when you have more people than you do jobs. The military right now is discharging people because they have so many people that want to get into the service that they have to discharge them in order to promote other people up in the ranks. So when you get to the point that where you got more people than you have jobs, what is your plans for the future?
Well, Paul, I think the military is suffering from the criteria to get people into the military. A large groups that are coming up, younger folks, are not meeting the physical requirements to go into the military. So that's a problem in itself.
Well, we were always told that you don't have to know no much in order to get shot at.
Well, I don't mean the mental part of it. I'm talking about the physical capabilities.
Well, even at that, they have a program. It's called the 5BX program, and it was purchased from the Canadians. And if you can't pass that, it doesn't make any difference how many years you have in, you're gone.
Well, the new recruits is a problem. First of all, getting people into the military. Second of all, that they're physically able and mentally able to perform and add value to the military.
But the military is offering people a trade. In other words, if you're looking for a future, join the military and we will train you.
Yeah, that's a positive. I mean, be all you can be.
Okay,
see the world.
What is the plan for the future when you have more civilians than you do work. What is the plan for the future?
Well, Paul, what age brackets are we looking at? Mark and I were talking off the air about he has a number of friends who enjoy semi-retirement. Is that a fair working part-time, but enjoy semi-retirement?
Right, just work part-time and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. What age groups are you know, what's the demographics, and can these people serve in the military? So I guess you'd have to see what the breakdown of where the population is. My gut feeling and guesses and seeing some information is it's north of 55.
Well, that eliminates me because I'm 76.
All right, we got you, Paul. More unanswerable questions. Thank you so much for checking in. Do appreciate that. Thank you, Paul. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're talking about Facebook turning its back on a number of extremists, including Alex Jones, who brought to you the fact that that Sandy Hook, the shooting at the school, never happened, that it was a conspiracy and a hoax. Milo Yiannopoulos, who I'm not sure I could encapsulate his rhetoric. I know some people call it hate speech. Other people just say it's good old-fashioned conservatism. And Louis Farrakhan, of course, we all know what he is. But you say they should have an open mic on Facebook to say whatever they want.
You should know. Here's what we've got the dilution of. This goes back into the 70s and coming into the 80s is the dilution of the benchmark of our media. Our media has become opinion op-ed pages, and so now when you get strange scenarios on the left and strange scenarios on the right, the education of people saying, "Hold it, that person's a nutbag. This person's a chaotic a mess." So you know when you see people who are making these extremes, the critical thinking has gone away to say, "Hold it, that is not." That is not the real world. Now, it's, you know, there's somewhere, but to hear these, you should be able to hear these. You should be able to hear these and say, you know, that person
is a nutbag.
Yeah, certified crazy.
Well, that's an admirable argument. I don't disagree with you there. I think that's why Alex Jones and these guys should have an open mic somewhere. But I'm defending Facebook just because they're a private company. You know, Facebook is there so I can check out my grandchildren, not so that I can find out, you know, what was wrong
with you. Well, you don't have to go to that part.
Well, that's true, I guess, but I just think Facebook is social media. It's not. It's the new town square.
But Facebook is far more powerful than people think. And look at the multi millions of people who are on Facebook and the dollars they're bringing in. Facebook should be like the refrigerator. You open up. Hey, you want to go to the top shelf and all the warm, fuzzy things and see Mark with his grandkids running in the beach? You know, running in
the. I don't have any grandkids. Well,
running in the surf at Ocean or Rehoboth Beach, or you want to come down to the next shelf and see, okay, here's some political news, or here's sports news, or here's entertainment news. Geez, what are the Kardashians doing? Hold on. If you don't know what the Kardashians are doing week to week, do you really have your pulse on America? I mean, so, you know, Facebook should just be all those different layers. You open the refrigerator, you pick what you want, veggies, fruits, desserts.
Okay.
And again, a very, very controlling business. Almost a monopoly.
Kind of like a library, I guess. If you don't like the non-picture books, like I don't like books that don't have pictures, then don't go to the adult sections. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Sound argument. I think Facebook is good standing to do whatever they wish, but I understand why you're saying the free marketplace demands all voices. Bob, thank you so much for calling in. We're talking about Facebook.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Banning people.
I've been listening to this here, and, you know... Mark, your argument about being a private company and if they could sort of set the rules as they see fit with Facebook and you know, who they're going to allow or what they're going to allow, has some validity until you recall that you were one of the people that was against the private company that was a bakery that said they didn't want to, for religious reasons, bake a wedding cake for a gay couple. It sort of becomes hypocrisy if you're saying it's okay for private companies to make rules on who they're going to serve and who they won't, then it needs to be universal.
I see what you're saying. Is you're drawing the correlation. Well, I think that is one way to look at it, but I think an artist has an obligation. If you put the shingle out that says you are going to be open, you are going to take all people. Facebook never said we are open to all people. They started out with years ago with a policy that says we don't want any hate speech, extremists, or that kind of stuff on our site. This particular artist never said, okay, we are open for business except if you're gay, then you won't. Facebook has always had the hate speech in place. In fact, The rest of this story kind of bears that out. I think if Facebook plus this baker were precisely the same, I think it would be one thing. But Facebook says I guess it's not in this account. But it violates their ban on dangerous individuals, which is kind of a strange thing.
Yeah.
But apparently they do have criteria for that.
In the case with the bakery that was sued. When they opened their bakery and they said, we're open to everybody and we'll do wedding cakes, there was no such thing as gay weddings. So how are they supposed to anticipate every future possibility of who they would then say would be a moral objection to them?
Well, I guess so. I see what you're saying. There,
at some point, Facebook allowed these people to join, and then through their post, through a future thing, through the way our society has become with, more danger and people seeing things on Facebook and getting ideas or whatever, they then change the rules and then say, well, no, now you've come under this category that we cannot have you. It was a future events that then dictated it. It's sort of the same thing with the bakery.
Yeah.
When they opened, they couldn't anticipate gay marriages. I mean, when we were growing up, we never could anticipate opening up the paper and seeing marriage license and seeing George and Fred or Bonnie and Jane getting a marriage license. It didn't happen. So how could we set up a business model
so you're saying
and not be able to do, what I mean? So it's kind of like a business entity in my mind should have the right to decide as things go along. Every business model has to change and has to evolve. And certainly there would have been a backlash for this bakery from the gay community or from certain activists, and that would say, I'll never buy another donut off you, or I'll never go in and buy another cake off you or anything else. And they would have to live with that fact.
Yeah,
the marketplace would have decided. They didn't need to go and have to defend themselves and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars fighting a lawsuit.
Well, sure. But Bob,
the same thing with Facebook. Yep,
hold on, Bob. Let Ben talk for a second here.
But Bob, the scenario here is I think a breakdown is religious values and commerce. They have not said they won't serve individuals in their bakery. What they said for this religious event, being a marriage, they're saying this isn't what I'm about. So, the commerce and the religious side, I think, need to be separated and looked at here.
So the baker does an artistic cake, and he refuses to practice his artistry for the gay couple, but they can buy
for religious matters.
Right. So
now, if they just came in and bought a cake,
but they can buy a conventional cake.
Well, does anybody ask when you go into a bakery? By the way, are you heterosexual?
Well,
check off a box.
No,
here.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. So it's sort of like.
Okay.
But there had to be that evolution. And that decision on their basis. And the same thing, I think, with Facebook. If, again, I can sit there and post things about, I'm going to the grocery store, or I'm going to go to such a restaurant or whatever, and Facebook doesn't have a problem. If I suddenly say, hey, I'm going to go out and start killing people because I don't like the color of their shoes or whatever, obviously Facebook's going to have a problem with that.
Yeah, and they'll catch it in the days ahead. All right,
yeah.
Thank you so much, Bob. Thanks for calling in. Very much appreciated.
And remember, the religious side of things, the laws that allow people freedom of religion, to practice religion, drives the seculars crazy in this country.
Right. Well, we have a topic that relates to Facebook now banning some hate speech, including Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, and Louis Farrakhan. What do you think about that? You can talk about that. We had the candidates debate last night. WVIA was able to get the candidates in the same room at the same time, and that was Mr. Mark Friedenberg, the Democratic candidate in the 12th District, along with Republican candidate Fred Keller of the currently a House member in the 85th District. Did you watch that? Did you learn anything last night? Did you find out something? Did you find out how feisty Fred can be, or did you find out how informed Mark is? We'd love your review of that. So give us your impression of the candidates' debate last night. So we are enjoying an Open Phones Friday. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Call us immediately. We got four open lines right now. 1-800-795-9565. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. I asked for and received reaction to the candidates' debate that was held on WVIA last night. Mark Friedenberg and Fred Keller were in the same room, a relatively rare event. I know the Chamber had one event. The Greater Susquehanna mm-hmm. Valley Chamber of Commerce had one event. I don't know of any other times they were in the same room, but we know who does know. Mark Friedenberg's on the line. He is welcome to call in, as all callers are, on an Open Phones Friday or any other day, and talk to us. So good morning, Mark. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, your reaction and feedback to last night, what did you think of what went down on VIA last night?
I think the voters got to see candidates with two really different priorities. I was really happy to have this only one debate, unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be. To highlight my focus on jobs and healthcare and Social Security. So I was glad to have a chance to do that last night.
Has Fred not agreed to participate in any other debates?
No, he has not agreed to any others. We're going to continue to push for more, but I think you see what happens in unscripted settings like last night. That's not where he's at his best.
Okay. Do you think you won the debate?
Oh, absolutely. It's all about, you know, what are the issues that matter to voters. And, you know, we've seen again and again, Fred is against Medicare, he's against Medicaid. He pushed Governor Corbett against taking the Medicaid expansion. Last night, he smeared Medicare. We know he's coming for Social Security. These are the issues that matter to voters.
Now, he says he's not worried about Social Security, or he's not interested in privatizing Social Security. Where do you get this, that he's anti-Social Security or Medicare? I don't see that anywhere on his website. He didn't say it last night. What's your response there?
Well, Medicare, I mean, he smeared that last night right in the debate. He spoke out against Medicare. And Social Security is supported by this Club for Growth. They cleared the field for him to get the nomination. They're supporting him now. He's cashed their checks. He puts the endorsement up proudly on his campaign materials, and they're dedicated to turning Social Security into something that they can profit from, turning your savings into a gambling fund.
Mark, this is Ben Reichle. Look at Social Security. I don't see that at all in even any of the Republican side about Social Security. Medicare for all is sort of a flag that the Democratic groups are waving. But, you know, we understand Social Security's in trouble. Its sustainability from 2025 to 2035 is questionable. But I don't see people banning Social Security. I do see the mantra from, I worked for McGovern in 72, so from 72 on, Social Security was the third rail. But people are looking on both sides, I hope, maybe not so much on the Democratic side, but the Republican side, is to sustain Social Security so it does work for the people.
Oh, well, I think that's probably got it backwards. I mean, I'm advocating for lifting the cap on payroll tax, make sure that we can keep the Social Security program solvent. There have been Republican efforts in the past to try to privatize Social Security. And we know they're going to go back and try it again. We got to stand up. This is not a program that is a gift to somebody or a giveaway. This is our hard-earned money. People pay into this program for decades. It's sacrosanct. We can't touch it.
So, Mark, are you saying that if a group, be it Republican or be whoever, come up and say, hey, we have to find ways to sustain Social Security. If it's on the Democratic side, it's a positive. But if the Republicans bring that up, they're trying to cut Social Security?
No. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is we can't have cuts to the program. We can't be raising the age for retirement. We need to look at how can we get the wealthiest Americans to start paying their fair share. Right now, they're paying a smaller percentage into Social Security than the rest of us, and that's got to change.
So
you know, I got to say, from last night's debate as well, we saw Fred, he's pretty shocking, denigrating teachers at every turn. He's talking a lot about how college teachers only teach a few hours a week. That's just wrong to think that all that the job is the time in the classroom. He's denigrated teachers the entire way throughout this campaign. He did it throughout the debate. He's dead set against unions. The unions are terrified of Fred Keller and what he's going to do for working Americans. He's dead set against raising the minimum wage, dead set against prevailing wage laws. He's the statesman of the year for right to work laws.
Well,
real danger for working Americans.
Mark, we're going to have an opportunity for Fred to respond to that right now. He, like you, can call the show anytime. So I'm going to put you on hold, but stand by. You will be able to hear Fred. He won't be able to hear you, but you'll be able to hear him. Do you mind holding on while he responds to what you said?
Oh, yeah, happy to do it.
All right, very good. Okay, so you stand by, and now we go to the line, and Fred is on the line. Fred Keller, the House member and Republican candidate. Good morning, Fred. You, like everyone else, is welcome to call the talk show, so I appreciate you calling in today.
Well, good morning. I just would like to set the record straight on the misinformation that Mr. Friedenberg has been putting out about my position. My positions have been consistent the entire campaign. I have not posted one thing on the internet and said something differently depending upon the crowd I'm in front of. Social Security is something people earned, period. They paid for it. We need to make sure that it's there for them when they retire. That's my position. I never said anything against Medicaid. I said against a single-payer socialized system, Medicaid for all. Okay? That's the difference. Mark misspoke when he was talking about the Corbett administration's healthy PA. Okay, he said, I fought against Corbett just now. He needs to do his research and do his homework. Mark, you and Ben know I do that and have done that ever since day one, that I make sure I understand the issues, I listen to people, and I put public policy forward that supports the people I represent in the State House, and I would do the same thing.
And
I just like to make the point that the jobs numbers that came out today, 263,000 new jobs, the lowest unemployment rate since I was 4 years old, okay? And the economy that's going, and my opponent wants to impeach the president, have more investigations. He would go down there and vote with Nancy Pelosi on the Green New Deal, which would cost every Pennsylvania family $600,000. He wants to have the Medicare for all. He wants to raise taxes on the middle class. And that's not something I'm saying. He made a statement, recorded it, and posted it on his website, and now he puts an asterisk by it and says, that's not what I meant to say. Well, if he couldn't, and he didn't answer this last night, why did he post it if it's not what he meant to say? He had control of it. I didn't post that. Nobody else posted that. So when you look at what my opponent has done, he's called for bans on firearms on his website, and now he says he's for the Second Amendment. He can't have it both ways. He's running from his positions because he's realizing he's not getting the traction on that. He wants to have a transparent town hall meeting if he were to get elected. Yet when he tells us what he's running for, his opening statement, 2 minutes, why you're running for Congress, and his closing minute statement, why people should vote for him, he has to read it from a script on his iPad, just like he did when he recorded his video. I mean, if that's not what he meant to say, he was reading it. So evidently somebody wrote it for him. The point is, my position is consistent all the time. I want to protect the things that people have earned and paid for, Social Security. I want to make sure that there are jobs for people and not a government that's going to define who you are and what health care you should get. My statement on the Medicare for All was the fact that you look at nations that have Medicare for All, and you go right to the example of what happened with Charlie Gard and Alfie Evans, where the government told those kids, or those kids' parents, because the doctor said their child wasn't going to survive, they couldn't take them elsewhere for care, because Charlie Gard could have come to the United States as a doctor willing to treat him. They said, you can't take your child there. And they said, you got to remove your child from life support. My son, when he was three, had a head injury. And when he came out of brain surgery that Thursday night on June 9th, and for the weeks following, we were told he wasn't going to live. Not a 50%, not a 95%. It was 100% mortality rate. And they pleaded with us, take him off life support. When are you going to say enough is enough? But we had control over that, not a government bureaucrat or judge telling us that we had to take our son off life support. And because we had control.
Fred, quick question.
We had control. He's alive and 27 years old and working for the hospital to save his life. So anyhow, Ben, you have a question.
Yeah, quick question.
Yeah,
how do you feel last night? You feel positive about the debate? You feel you won?
10 seconds, Fred, and then I got to take a break.
It's not a matter of whether I feel I won or whether I feel I didn't. I think that people saw the differences in the candidates. I think that people saw the candidate of me who stands up for them, the people that go to work, who understands it because I worked in that factory, I managed that factory, I started my own small business. They saw that. A person that believes the power of our government, of America, resides in the power of the people that are our government, that elect us to represent them, not a government pushed down from Washington, D.C., which is the one of my opponent.
All right.
That's really the difference in these two campaigns. Mine of one where the power comes from the people to tell the government what they can do, not where the government tells the people to do. That's the difference in these campaigns, and it's so important.
All right,
Fred, on May 21st.
I got to stop you right there, Fred. Fred, stand by. I'm going to give you another minute after I take a break. I cannot put both on the line at the same time. So folks may be saying, well, why don't you just hit the button two times?
Yeah, that'd be,
that does not work. They won't be able to hear each other, so that would not work. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, they each get a closing statement on our show. They'll get that closing statement separately, but we'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Build me up, Buttercup. All right, we have a minute or two left. We're going to start out with Mark Friedenberg. You get 60 seconds, and then Fred gets to go. I can't put you both on at the same time, but we'll let you wrap up your conversation. Mark, you got 60 seconds.
Yeah, you know, Fred talks about his kid and these other kids. No one is against control here, right? No one is saying that people shouldn't have choices. That's the whole point. We've got kids right now who are without health care. They do not have a choice. They do not have the privileges that Fred's son did. That's what I'm trying to fix. You know, he keeps talking these really tired talking points about picking the clothes you want to wear, the foods you eat, the government wants to pick up. That's absurd. It makes him sound desperate. And my closing question is a real simple one to Fred. It's a yes or no. Are you willing to reject the Club for Growth endorsement? They want to privatize Social Security. Are you willing to reject that endorsement and give back the check that they gave you?
All right. Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks for calling in. You, like everyone, can call in anytime. We appreciate you calling in with your reaction and some of your viewpoints after last night. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Friedenberg, a Democratic candidate for U.S. Congress. And, Fred, you get 60 seconds. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
The first thing I would like to say is I've had the privilege of representing people in Pennsylvania's 85th District for the last 9 years. Prior to that, I had a full career in private industry where I always kept my word and put people's interests first. That I represented, whether it was privately or in public. There is no doubt of where I stand on the issues with the people that know me, and everybody else will learn that very, very shortly. You're not going to have to wonder on May 22nd, if you elect me, what person you're sending to Congress. That is the distinct difference between me and my opponent. My opponent has said one thing and done something else. He says he wants to raise taxes on the middle class, and he's going to have to if he wants to pay for those liberal policies when he came out as their nominee to say, hey, look, I'm excited to campaign on the Green New Deal and Medicare for All. He can't afford it any other way. The people can't afford it. The people can't afford Mark Friedenberg, because what he wants to do is he wants to make sure that he has programs in place so that he can define you and put you in the category and control you. That's what his playbook is about. He thinks he knows what's best for you, and you know what's best for you. And I would appreciate the support of the people of 12th Congressional District on May 23rd.
Now Dan Patrick's going to stop you, so we got to go. Thank you so much for calling in, Fred. Very much appreciated. Thank you, Ben. We'll see you next week. We might put you in the Catbird Week next week.
We've got On the Mark, Hometown Pharmacies, and everyone enjoy their weekend.
This is WDK, okay, Sunbury.